Talking with TD.
Talking with TD.
Touchdown, Tennessee.
The latest on the Two-Tone Blue with ESPN's Teron Davenport.
Put up a shut-up, sir.
This is Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Here we go. Yes, yes. It is one of the greatest times of the year. If you're a football fan, which I assume you are if you're listening to this podcast, it is NFL Combine Week. And again, if you're a football fan, this is almost like Christmas. It is as good as it gets as we continue to chip away, as we get closer and closer to the NFL draft in Green Bay. Parker Kelly filling in for Teron Davenport as TD is up in Indianapolis this week doing the Lord's work at the Combine. He's been putting out lots of great sound bites, news and notes from the Combine happenings this week. He's also been putting out a lot of great stuff over at ESPN.com, articles, and again, lots of just good notes from Indianapolis. I highly encourage you to go check those out. If you've been listening to this show for a while, you know that we don't believe in an offseason. Because football has become a year-round sport, offseasons are a thing of the past. We have so much to unpack on today's show. We have Run TMC with Forever a Titan Chris Sanders coming up in the next segment. And we have our very own Teron Davenport giving us a live report from Indianapolis coming up in the final segment. Now, while we are going to talk about the Combine, I wanted to unpack some things that I got out of the media availability that happened earlier this week with newly named Titans general manager Mike Borgonzi and second-year head coach Brian Callahan. They both spoke to the media, I believe it was on Monday, and while they didn't necessarily say a whole lot, and I didn't expect them to say a whole lot, I don't think a lot of you expected them to say a whole lot either, if you were carefully paying attention, there were some nuggets that you could kind of get out of what they were saying. TD's always said it best. Mike Borgonzi is great about saying a lot while not saying much at all. And I 100% believe that. Mike Borgonzi, his answers are very short and to the point, but he also doesn't give a lot away. He keeps a lot of what he says close to the vest, and the film study that he's done with the Titans brass, he keeps a lot of that close to the vest. And that's all right. That is his right. But there were some interesting things that he said to the media earlier this week, and I wanted to unpack those on today's show. The first being that the Titans have received phone calls about the number one overall pick, which you could probably guess that that was going to happen because that's typically the case with teams that hold the number one overall pick. There's a lot of leverage. Now, with the amount of leverage that the Titans have in this year's draft, compared to other years, probably not as much, but there is still some leverage because Shedeur Sanders and Cam Ward, top two quarterbacks in the draft, whatever order you want to put them. And after that, there is a drop-off. But Shedeur Sanders and Cam Ward, they are the two main quarterbacks in this year's draft. And obviously, their stock is going to be weighted a little bit simply because they play the quarterback, and that is the most important position in sports. But the Titans have received phone calls about the number one overall pick. Mike Borgonzi did confirm that. One of my questions going into this when it officially, you know, the Titans lost their last game of the regular season to the Texans, they had the number one overall pick. One of my questions going into this whole process was, how many teams would be interested in trading up for the number one overall pick, because several media heads have said that this draft is not necessarily the deepest at the top portion of the draft. This draft specifically is there are more prospects in the rounds 2 to 4 range that, here, I'll give you an example. Adam Schefter said yesterday on the Pat McAfee show that in this year's draft, the 10th overall pick and the 35th overall pick, any pick between those numbers, you're probably going to get about the same quality of player. The belly of this draft, which refers to the middle portion of it, that is when you're going to find your gems. Matt Miller came out with an article on ESPN. I believe I referenced this last week, that he had 12 prospects in this year's draft that he gave a first-round grade to. So, since we covered the Titans here, that made me question how many teams would actually be interested in trading up for that number one overall pick. Mike Borgonzi said that they've received phone calls. We don't know how many phone calls he's received. We don't know what teams have called about it. We could speculate, we could guess, but teams have called. Another interesting point that he said, we know Will Levis is the only quarterback on the roster right now. The Titans are pretty much done with Mason Rudolph, the whole Mason Rudolph experience. So Borgonzi said that they were going to bring in another quarterback, whether that be via the draft or whether that be bringing in a guy from free agency. We talked about free agent quarterbacks on last week's show. Some popular names that TD's been hearing. Sam Darnold. That is a very real possibility for the Tennessee Titans. We don't know how it's going to play out in Minnesota. If they're going to decide to go all in on J.J. McCarthy and see if they can get or push Sam Darnold out the door. Aaron Rodgers, that is another possibility. His name keeps being thrown around. Who knows what's going to happen with Matthew Stafford? I personally don't think Matthew Stafford to the Titans is a viable option, meaning I don't think that it's going to happen. Derek Carr has been thrown around. I think Derek Carr is going to stay put in New Orleans. So we'll have to see what the Titans do, but Borgonzi said that they are for sure bringing in another quarterback, whether that be draft or free agency. So that is something to keep a lookout for, since Will Levis is the only quarterback on the roster. Now, I do believe that the Titans are doing right by Will Levis. And Will Levis is doing right for himself. He's going to train out in California with Jordan Palmer, who is one of the more renowned quarterback trainers nationally. He's worked with some of the best in the NFL. So Will Levis is going out to California to train with Jordan Palmer. We'll see how much that helps. But Borgonzi and Callahan have been asked about Will Levis and, you know, what's going to happen with him heading into next season. And they basically said that nothing is going to be guaranteed for Will Levis. Like, you know, going into last offseason, Will Levis was pretty much guaranteed the starting spot, and there was really no question about it. The whole point of last season, by some, was to see what Will Levis was. And now we all have a better grasp on what kind of player Will Levis is. But they're going to do right by him by allowing Will Levis to compete for the starting job, but remembering that nothing is guaranteed. Will Levis is just going to be given the ability to compete. And I believe Will Levis is taking the right approach here. I don't believe Will Levis is the Will Levis experience in my mind is over. There are some that are a lot higher on Will Levis than I am. But they are going to bring in another quarterback to compete for the starting job. So that is definitely something to keep an eye out for. As far as the deepest positions go in this year's NFL draft. It's the D-line. There's no question about the deepest position in this year's draft. It's the D-line, specifically the edge rushers. There are a lot of great edge rushers. Abdul Carter, clearly being the top, the cream of the crop of the edge rushers. You have guys like Mykael Williams out of Georgia. Guys like James Pierce out of Tennessee. There are plenty of great edge rushers. There are also a lot of great running backs. And one of my favorite positions specifically in this year's draft, the tight end room. The tight end group is very, very, very deep. So those are three positions that I would keep a lookout for. Now, if the Titans end up, let's say they end up selecting Abdul Carter with the first overall pick, I would personally like to see them maybe take a tight end on day three or maybe even late in day two, because I believe that there are some legit playmaking tight ends that you could get later on in the draft. Now, one of the things that Mike Bergonzi has said that has kind of wowed a lot of people is he said that he wants to build through the trenches. And with everything coming out today about Harold Landry's, the Titans are giving him permission to seek a trade, to find a suitable trade partner. To the less informed fan, that makes you think that the Titans are going to want to take Abdul Carter. Abdul Carter said that he wanted to be the number one overall pick. So we're going to have to see how that goes and how that progresses. But Mike Borgonzi has said that he wants to build through the trenches. Now, I'm not saying I know where the Titans are going to head with this, because if I'm being honest, nobody knows. Nobody knows where the Titans are going with the number one overall pick. And if they tell you they do, they're lying. I've listened to every interview that Brian Callahan and Mike Borgonzi, or almost every interview. I'm sure there are some that I haven't heard, but I've heard most of them. And they will say things one day that'll make me think, okay, maybe they're going here. And then they'll say things another week that'll make me say, huh, well, maybe they're going to go there. I don't know. I can speculate. I can guess. That's what I'm paid to do. But we will have to see. But this whole process is absolutely fascinating to me. Because the draft, you know, takes place in late April, but free agency is the key because it happens before the draft. So whoever the Titans bring in out of free agency is going to determine what they do in the draft. And both Borgonzi and Callahan have said that they're going to be very selective in free agency. And I take that to mean, okay, if they want player A, but player A gets snatched up by another team, they're not just going to go to their next best player for that specific position. They're going to look to bring in the guys specifically that they want to bring in. So there really is no break in after football season, after the regular season, after the postseason, after the Super Bowl. There is no break. There is constant news that is being kind of recycled through, and there's a lot of new nuggets and tidbits that are coming out, especially with the combine being this week. But definitely want to pick apart Chris Sanders' brain and see where he's at on some of these prospects, where he's at as far as the Harold Landry situation is concerned, and also TD, because he's actually there in Indianapolis. So I want to know what he's thinking as well, but let's go ahead and take a break, and we'll be right back with Run TMC with Chris Sanders.
This is Derrick Henry. You're now talking with TD.
Thank you. And now, the head coach of the Missouri Tigers men's basketball team. A team that is projected to get a 5 seed right now in the NCAA tournament. The head coach, Dennis Gates.
And now, the head coach of the Denver Nuggets, Dan Issel.
I don't look anything like that, man.
Yeah, you look like Conway Twitty, man. What's going on with you, man? You doing all right?
I'm doing all right. It is one of the greatest times of year now that we have the combine, and we have no shortage of football news to talk about.
Oh, man, you know it's drama every time it comes with the combine. Somebody don't want to show up. Somebody don't want to throw. I mean, it's just – and who's going – somebody's going to run a fast time. So, you know, these are the things that you love in the combine.
And we don't believe in the off season on this show. So there's plenty of stuff to talk about. Let's go ahead and dive right into it. So sure. I'm sure you saw the news this morning about Harold Landry and the Titans giving him permission to seek out a trade with another team. When you saw the news this morning, what was your first reaction?
I mean, it's a part of the business, and I think Harold Landry knows that because you're going to make $17.5 million a year, and you know they're thinking that easy worth it. So if you trade Harold Landry that had a pretty good year, that you can get some more draft picks, and then check this out, then you can probably stay at number one and get the quarterback or whoever that you need, and not have to trade down. So it's just so many things that could happen, and you know this is what you want because it's kind of like Days of Our Lives. You don't know what's really going on. But it makes it so good because you have a situation that can inspire like that.
Now, when I saw the news, clearly Harold Landry is probably the best pass rusher that the Titans have. But when I saw the news, and I'm baking in the fact that he got that contract extension, I believe, in 2022. He had the knee injury. What do you think his value would be on the open market?
I think his value is going to be really good because the thing about it is, how many sacks he had? I think he had, 10, 11 sacks or something like that?
He had 9 this past season.
He had 9 sacks. So is he still making some plays? So it all depends on what a team is looking for, what they want. Do they want to bring him in? So, you know, with them, you know, maybe had a possibility of trading Landry, they're going to get some value from him because he had a pretty good season. So I know, you know, everybody's talking about we don't need Landry. He only had 9 sacks. But let's go and look at this whole roster. Who else had 9 sacks?
No one.
That's the point that I'm making. So that's the key. I mean, he had a good season, but at the end of the day, it's business when you're making $17.5 million a year.
Now, it was so easy to, okay, when you see this news, probably the less informed person probably thought, okay, if the Titans are going to deal away Harold Landry, then that opens up the spot for the Titans to draft, let's say, an Abdul Carter. And he did say today that he wants to be the number one overall pick. In your mind, do you think that might be the direction the Titans head?
Oh, I mean, you have to. When you're losing a pass rusher, you're going to have to get a pass rusher. Because if you look at this draft, there's some good guys in there. So if they did pass on Abdul, there's still some guys you can pick up in free agency. You got Joshua from the Eagles. You got Hassan Reddick from the Jets. You got Malcolm Cooney from the Raiders. And then in the draft, you got James Pierce from, you know, the University of Tennessee. And then a guy that I really, really love from Marshall is Mike Green. So they have some possibility. They have some guys they're looking at. There's some guys that they can take advantage of and get. So it's going to really be interesting because when somebody leaves that has 9 sacks, you better replace those sacks. I mean, just kind of look at what last year when they let – what's the guy's name that went to the Houston Texans? I can't remember his name, but he had 12 sacks last year. You got to remember that when you're letting 12 sacks go, you better bring somebody in there that has 12 sacks. So, you know, that's the key to the whole situation.
When I think about Harold Landry and his best years in Tennessee, it seemed to always come opposite a guy like Bud Dupree. So I'm wanting the Titans to find a way to keep Harold Landry because, okay, they're letting him explore the open market to see what his value might be. But I just struggle to believe that a team is going to want to – because they'll also have to take on his salary.
Absolutely.
And I just don't see another team wanting to do that. But if you draft a guy like an Abdul Carter and then pair him on the other side with Harold Landry, and I feel like you know what you're getting out of Arden Key. But if you have a guy like Harold Landry and Abdul Carter opposite each other, that could be a real wrecking force on the defense.
Yeah, but see, here's the thing. If you're going to try to keep, our guy that we're talking about, Harold Landry, he's going to have to take a pay cut. He's going to have to. They're not going to take on a $17.5 million salary when you only got 9 sacks. So it sounds good to have him on the right or him on the left or vice versa, wherever they want to put him. But it all depends on what Harold Landry wants to do. If he says, you know, we're going to take a pay cut and I want to stay here, then that's a whole different ballgame. If I was him, this is just me. If I'm Harold Landry, I got to look at the situation. Do I want to go to another team and learn a different system, having to learn a whole different teammates, or stay here and still be a big part of this defense? Just imagine this defense. I want you to listen to this. Abdul, Harold Landry, Sweat, and Simmons. Oh, what in the world?
Yep.
You're talking about a defense that was really good to stop the run, but you got a team that's really, really good that can stop you in all facets of the game.
That leads me to my next point, because the production with Harold Landry is, in my mind, has not lived up to what he is making as far as his contract is concerned and what he's making on a yearly basis. I also believe that, you know, he is a younger player. He's 28 years old. He's got his family started in Middle Tennessee. He's kind of a homebody. I don't see Harold Landry being a guy that would want to leave and maybe go to another team that isn't as good like the Titans are. So that might, you know, keep him here.
It's not that he wants to leave. He just, you know, I think he wants, can I just be honest, I think he wants to feel appreciated. I don't think he really feels appreciated being here, because, you know, and I understand he got a good contract, whatever, but I just don't think that he feels appreciated here. So, you know, when guys feel that way, they want to go to different teams and really feel appreciated. So it all depends on what he wants to do in that household. Does he want to stay here? You know, does he want to go to a different place? What does Harold want to do that benefits him? So at the end of the day, he's got to understand, you've got to take your emotions out of it, because, excuse me, it is a business.
And there's so much to talk about regarding this Harold Landry news that came out today.
Yeah.
But it is Combine Week. There's Mike Borgonzi and Brian Callahan have both spoke at different media press conferences and things like that. They spoke yesterday. Did you get the opportunity to listen to their press conferences?
No, not really. I haven't listened to it yet.
Well, I definitely – they didn't – I'll give you a quick summary. They didn't say much. They didn't give a lot away. And
they're not going to tip their hat.
Yeah, that was expected. But I thought Jared brought up a good point on his show yesterday that Borgonzi is doing – it sounds like he's going to do the basics that a general manager needs to do that we might have not necessarily seen in previous general managers. So that part really impressed me, but again, didn't give too much away, so I don't know which direction they're leaning with the number one pick.
I don't know what they're going to do, and I don't think they really know what they're going to do yet, because here's the thing. They may have their agenda on what they want to do and what direction they want to do, and then all of a sudden, the day of the draft, they get a call, and somebody, I'm just throwing it out, somebody jumps up from 10 to 1 and say, okay, we'll give you our first-round draft pick this year, next year, and the next year after that. Then all of a sudden, all bets are off the table. So we don't know. I know they have an idea. I know, you know, generally they kind of, you know, got to focus on what they want to do, but at the end of the day, nobody really knows. Everybody's talking this. Everybody's saying Cam Ward. Everybody's saying Abdul. Everybody's saying Shadur. Everybody's saying a wide receiver from Arizona. I mean, you know, the OT from LSU, Will Campbell. Everybody's said all these names. But at the end of the day, it's going to be what the decision they're going to make is going to come down probably to the last 5 minutes of the draft. And that's what we're going to see.
I've had so many people ask me, which direction are the Titans going to go? And I'll tell them, I know just as much as you do.
No.
Because they'll say something that makes me believe one thing, and then they'll say another thing that makes me believe they're going a different way. Here's one thing that stuck out to me, because TD and I have gone back and forth on this. He wants Travis Hunter, if the Titans were to draft him, he wants Travis Hunter to be primarily a receiver and then have some packages of defense. I'm the opposite. I want Travis Hunter to play corner with packages at wide receiver, and Brian Callahan said yesterday at his media availability that he would play Travis Hunter primarily at corner and then work him in at receiver.
Yeah, but you got to look at what his dominant position was. I mean, his dominant position was at corner. I mean, you want to keep him there, and just like you said, have different packages from him. Just like the situation when Deion Sanders was in the NFL, his dominant position was cornerback, a shutdown corner, but then they had packages of him when he played for Dallas. So, you know, I think they should take that same approach. He's just a talented guy, a guy that can make plays, a guy that can play on offense and defense. But at the end of the day, his primary position is being a corner. His secondary is playing offense, and I think he should actually leave it like that.
Now, the fact that he primarily would be a corner, does that change your mind at all from taking him with the number one overall pick?
Nah, because the thing about it is, I'm looking at the draft. You want to make sure that you bring in guys that's going to play right away. And who's the guy that can come in and play right away? Travis Hunter. I mean, that's just what it is. If you put an offensive, whatever you want to do, whatever position he plays, he's going to be an impact player, because at the end of the day, that's what you need on this team. You need some impact players. Just imagine, you know, him coming to the Tennessee Titans. He's playing corner, and then also he plays some offense, and then on the other side you have Calvin Ridley. Oh, my goodness. With Calvin Ridley and him and, you know, another slot receiver, some guys that can accommodate him, that's going to be a dangerous wide receiver room, but also a dangerous defensive back room.
Absolutely. And I think Travis Hunter, you know, I've watched him play at Colorado. I, you know, watched a little bit of what he did at Jackson State. I don't see Travis Hunter being a true wide receiver one in the NFL, but right. I think he could be lethal from the slot position. And I think, of course, in college, he didn't have a lot of tackles, but you, right. as a DB, you're not, it just means they're not throwing your way. And I thought he was a shutdown corner.
Oh, he was. He's definitely a shutdown corner, but in the league, you're going to have to tackle because they're going to run at you. I mean, because they're going, the receiver's going to block you, and they're going to run straight at your mustache, and you better tackle. So, you know, I just think he is a generational player, a guy that, man, you can just do so many things. You can use him at punt return, a kickoff return, wide receiver, defensive back. I mean, all these things that he brings to the table. So if I'm the Tennessee Titans, I would jump up there and get him. But if I don't jump up there and get him, I'll let somebody else get him and accumulate a whole bunch of impact players.
Now, obviously, the quarterback position is getting a lot of love right now. Borgonzi said yesterday that they are going to bring in a quarterback, whether that be a veteran or they draft a guy. And I think they're doing right by Will Levis. Will Levis is going to train out in California with Jordan Palmer, which is one of the best quarterback developers in the game right now. But they're gonna allow Levis to compete, but nothing is guaranteed. But Borgonzi did say yesterday that they're going to bring in a quarterback. I'm assuming Mason Rudolph is done with, but they're going to bring in either a veteran or draft a guy.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you want to do, because if you look at the problem last year, there was no competition for Will Levis. And Will Levis, he knew that, okay, if I throw an interception, if I did this in camp, then I know they have a starting position. Now you're coming into camp to where you got to fight for position. I don't know what veteran quarterback they're going to be in, or they draft a quarterback. You know, but some of the guys are out there. It's like Sam Darnold, Justin Fields, and then you get into the draft. You got Cameron Ward, you got Shadu Sanders, then you got Dylan Gabriel from Oregon. So those are some of the guys that if they actually brought in and have him compete for the starting position, I think it's going to make Levis a better quarterback, because now, as opposed to him just getting the position day one, he's going to have to fight to get the position, and I think that's going to make him better.
Now, considering where Mike Borgonzi came from in Kansas City, he was a part of the whole drafting Mahomes process and Alex Smith starting that year, really developing and grooming Mahomes. And they said every temptation in the world was there to play Mahomes right out the gate, but they didn't. And that's always been my favorite approach to developing a young quarterback. So if the Titans were to take a guy like Shadur Sanders, like Cam Ward, who both of which I'm very high on, I think this is absolutely the right idea to bring in a veteran, an established veteran, and let them develop the young quarterback.
Yeah, but see, you said the key word is develop. I mean, there's, you know, you have the C.J. Strouds that came in and had success right away, but then you have a situation to where these young quarterbacks, you expected them to lead these men and lead them to a championship when it's not fair to them. They don't have a chance to develop. They don't have a chance to understand defenses. They're thrown into the wolves. So you got to be smart when you're bringing in a young quarterback, because there's two things: you can make or break a young guy if he doesn't have success early. So I think that's a great observation to where let these kids develop, let them learn, from a veteran, let them learn that you know, the things to do, how to lead a team. But here's the kicker: you have to bring in the right veteran that's going to do that, because a lot of veterans don't like, oh, I don't want to mentor a young guy because I want to save my job, because then now you get that attitude, now you're gonna have a mess on your hand. You want to get a guy that's going to want to win championships but also bring your young quarterback along. That makes a difference.
Now, staying on the veteran quarterback front, I don't think Derek Carr is an option. I think he's going to stay put in New Orleans. Matthew Stafford, I I'm not too confident that is actually going to happen. But two names that have been repeatedly brought up, and TD said that Sam Darnold is a legit option for the Titans. And I've also heard Aaron Rodgers' name a lot, you know, brought up by the national media. Here's my thing with Aaron Rodgers. I think it would be fine if you bring him in for a year or two. But a lot of people are kind of scared off by, okay, if the Titans take Shedeur Sanders, you know, the Deion circus, they're all nervous about that. If you bring in a guy like Aaron Rodgers, that's the Deion circus times two.
Yeah. I mean, you want – listen, I love Aaron Rodgers' game. I think he's one of the best quarterbacks of all time. But you got to be a leader of men. You got to make everybody better. Now, if you have a situation to where you lose a game – you make it about us, not about you. And I think that that's the thing that he struggles with, because, you know, he doesn't want to take any accountability of saying, okay, we messed up. It's about somebody else. So if you start bringing that in the locker room, you're going to have a locker room that's already in disarray. It's going to get even worse, and it's going to go back to, what culture are you building?
Absolutely. I'm very excited to see where this thing goes. One more thing before we head out. So sure. I was really like, I'm a big sports fan, and I'm not necessarily a huge hockey fan, but I was watching the Four Nations tournament, and one guy that I just kept seeing pop up on ESPN, and I really loved what he had to say. I was sitting down on the couch with my wife, and we were watching. She's like, wait, is that Chris Sanders? He's making some excellent points. And I'm like, no, baby, that's not Chris Sanders. That's former Nashville Predator P.K. Subban.
But guess what? I was watching Three's Company, and I think I said this joke before, but I got to say it again. Is this guy walks out, and he has on these funny-looking shirts and funny-looking suits, and my wife was like, is that the guy you do the show? I'm like, nah, baby, that's Mr. Furley.
Yeah, you've used that one once or twice.
No.
This is Peter Skoronski, and I'm talking with T.D.
All right, back for our final segment on Talking with TD. It is Combine Week, and I mentioned to Chris Sanders in the previous segment, we don't believe in the offseason on this show. We got plenty of stuff to talk about. We actually have a live report from TD himself as he's at the Combine in Indianapolis. TD, how we doing?
Hey, man, I'm doing really well sitting here in the basement of the Omni Hotel in the lab by Exos. My guy Brent Callaway, one of the top trainers in the nation. I'm down here with some of the top prospects, man, watching them go. So it's like heaven.
Yeah, TD, there's a lot of stories and stuff coming out of the Combine, but real quick, one thing that I wanted to ask you about was the Harold Landry news that came out. It was early this morning, and then we'll get to the Combine stuff. But the Harold Landry news that came out, that the Titans are giving him permission to seek out a trade with other teams. What did you make of the news when you first saw
it? Yeah, it's pretty surprising, because when you look at what the guy said, right, well, Chad Brinker, Mike Pagansi, what they said after their initial comments, they say, you know, draft, develop, retain. And he mentioned the retain part, and he said, you know, examples of guys that have went through that process, Harold Landry, Jeffrey Simmons. And he said, Brinker pointed to the loyalty that those guys had and finishing strong despite the year being so crazy. And he mentioned, you know, being loyal to them. Well, I mean, it's a little strange that they're telling him to go seek a trade, because obviously if they don't trade him, there's a good chance they cut him. So there's a conversation that could be had there in regards to Landry and the loyalty that was mentioned initially.
And when I saw this news, to the less informed fan, it might look like, okay, if the Titans are trying to get rid of Harold Landry, kind of push him out the door, and then considering the comments that Abdul Carter made today at the Combine about him wanting to be the number one overall pick, does that kind of sway your mind on which way the Titans might go for come draft time?
No, you know, honestly, just in talking to some people here, I think there's a very, very legit chance that Abdul Carter is number one pick, regardless. And, you know, he told me the meeting with the Titans went really well. He enjoyed talking to the staff. I know, you look at some of the guys, you know, Denard Wilson. He really is a big fan of Abdul Carter, and why wouldn't you be? So you look at that and just the timeliness of his playmaking ability. So I think you combine that and just needing someone that's a hugely impactful player. Harold Landry has been a good player for them, but he's been on a decline, and he hasn't really had the juice that he had since the injury, you know. And I think when you look at that, you pair that with what Carter brings, there's a different degree of pass rush, at least a promise of a pass rush that Carter has.
Absolutely, and it's easy to watch him and his career, what he did at Penn State, and you know what you're going to get on the field. But a lot of what's going on at the Combine is off-the-field meetings, and they're trying to get an idea of the person that you're bringing into your organization. Now, there's been some rumors about quote-unquote character concerns, and I don't necessarily traffic in those ideas. And I know that that was brought up in Abdul Carter's media availability. What do you make of who Abdul Carter is off the field?
Yeah, well, there was an incident in regards to a tow truck driver, and there was a confrontation that he had. But look, man, you know, he's a kid, right? And that's why I asked Mike Borgonzi about, you know, how do you go about handling guys who have quote-unquote character issues? And you know, he said that, and I phrased it in that, hey, you know, do you look at it as in like, okay, is this a good person that made a bad decision, or is this a bad person that has continued to make bad decisions, right? And he said that, you know, it's all about what they learn from it. And if you take that perspective, you know, that happened in April of 2024. It's been over a year, you know, well, almost a year now, and you haven't had any instances. You look at the leadership that he brought to the table with the players, playing in that last game, right? Despite having the shoulder injury and pretty much wrapping up that he is the best pass rusher in the league, you know, in college. I think that says a lot. Abdul Carter said about his character, like he knows how he was raised, he knows who he is, and he's willing to address any of those issues head on.
Absolutely. And it seems like we kind of had these same conversations surrounding T'Vondre Sweat last year. And I did see your cut on Twitter, Mike Borgonzi, saying like, okay, yeah, he's a kid, he made a mistake, but are these mistakes happening consistently? And that's kind of what he pointed to. But I can't help but you brought up a great point. Playing throughout that entire college football playoff with basically one arm, and just watching his performance specifically in that semifinal game versus Notre Dame, I mean, that spoke volumes to me.
Yeah, and I think when you're looking at these types of issues and you're projecting, the best thing that you could indicate or go off of is character. And it shows tremendous character to be able to, you know, put your future goals at risk by going out there and playing with a shoulder slash arm that's just not right. I mean, we know what happens right at the end of the year. Even though the season ends, nobody's watching football, right? Because there's no football being played. But somehow a guy go from, you know, the 14th overall prospect to the 5th or so on and so forth. It's because of the over-critiquing, the over-analysis causing paralysis season. And that's what you have. So, you know, imagine if he ended on a bad note and people are looking at that and they're like, oh, well, you know, I don't know about him. Look at how he played in the game against Notre Dame. But instead, you see what he did. And again, he said that he wanted to be in that game for his players, have one last ride with his guys, and try to go to the player, you know, to the national championship game. And I think that speaks volumes.
It's kind of like grasping for air. You know, you just have a lot of time on your hands when it's kind of dead and doing all these critiques, but you're 100% right. I want to go back to the quarterback position. And obviously, we've talked about Shedeur Sanders and Cam Ward at nauseam. But where do the Titans brass, where do they stand on those two prospects as it stands right now?
Man, I'm sorry. I'm sitting here watching Texas A&M. Damar Stewart. Listen, I just watched him run at Cooper. He's 281, almost 290 pounds. He told me he's going to run in the 4.4, 4.5 range. And the explosion that he just had, you know, running the first like 20 yards just now, unbelievable, man. Watch him.
We can stay on the edge position if you want. I mean, there's plenty of depth.
Landon Jackson is another one. But, you know, he told me that he's going to run in the 4.4, 4.5. He met with the Titans, too. So Stewart is a guy, as I mentioned, you know, those ones that just rise and rise during the non-football playing season. You know, I've seen some comparisons to Trayvon Walker, like that rise that he made. But in regards to the quarterbacks, you know, let's get back on track. You asked me about Cam and Shedeur and where they stand. I think a lot of that is going to depend on the meetings that they have with Cam. This is going to be their first, like, exposure to him in person, so that's going to be good. As far as like in a sit down, let's talk environment, I'm curious how he does with that as compared to you know, how Shador did, you know, in the car wash, so to speak. He did really well. I think Cam, you know, it's a different personality, but I want to see how that meshes. Cam is a guy, they love the potential. So I think they're still in the mix for both of those guys. And, I mean, you know, right now you look at Travis Hunter, too, and you combine all that together, man, there's four guys that could very well be in play for the first pick.
It's like I hear something one week that makes me believe, okay, they're going this way, and then they'll say something another week that makes me think they're going a different way. I have no idea. I'm just kind of waiting back and seeing what happens. But Mike Borgonzi, in his media availability yesterday, he didn't give a lot away, which I didn't expect him to, but he did kind of hint at they're definitely bringing in another guy because they only have one quarterback on the roster. And I know last week you mentioned on your TD Power Hour with Jared that Sam Darnold is a legitimate option for this team. Do you believe he's going to be the guy that the Titans could bring in, or do you think there's another veteran that they could bring in?
I think there's another veteran they could bring in. I'm really curious what could happen in regards to Derek Carr. I don't know that that's the best option, but you know, I think if he comes available, he could definitely be in play. It's just that there's two things with Darnold. You know, it's a price tag, and it's also, you know, what he did at the end of the season, right? You know, the Lions game as well as the Rams game. So we'll see. I'm not one who's, you know, overly high on them, either one of them, frankly. But, yeah, there's a good chance another guy comes in.
And I think the Aaron Rodgers, I've been hearing his name mentioned a lot, especially by the national media. And what scares a lot of people off of Shedeur Sanders is what would come with it and Deion Sanders and everything with that. But if you bring in a guy like Aaron Rodgers, I mean, it might be hard for his head to fit in the building, especially in Nashville. I mean, that's a whole circus in itself.
Yeah, I mean, you're getting the exact same thing. You know, and if I'm Brian Callahan, I'm like, no, we're not going to do that because – no matter what he does, it's going to be, you know, a tough situation, right? It's a lose-lose. They win with Callahan and Aaron Rodgers and say, okay, yeah, Aaron Rodgers, a Hall of Famer, he better win with him. And if they lose, then it's, you know, it's a big-time crime, you know. So I would want to stay away from that. I don't think that that's the best situation for Callahan at all.
Absolutely. And we've talked a lot about the top four prospects. Everybody knows who they are. But now that you're in Indy and you're getting a good look at all these guys, who are some guys specifically that you're looking at that the Titans could bring in on day two or day three?
Yeah, see, look, day two, day three. And I will say this, stay on the lookout for Michael Williams. You know, he's someone that if they trade back, like with the Raiders or somebody like that, I could see him being a guy. They like him. So, but you look at day two, day three, you know, I think Savion Williams is one that's going to generate a lot of interest. And he's a guy that, you know, he could play all over the place. You see him play wildcat, slot, outside, everything. So, you know, he's a day two guy. I think you look at Aliante Ursary, who I wrote about. That posted on Monday, the tackle from Minnesota. So he's one. I think you look at those guys. You look at, you know, a guy like Xavier Watts, the safety out of Notre Dame. You could also look at, you know, I'd give you another name, Kyle Kennard. He met with the Titans as well. You know, this is the Bronco Nagurski Award winner. You know what I mean? And we're talking about him second round, but he's somebody that could be there at the top of it, you know. So those are some names, you know, if they don't go the Abdul Carter route. You know, I think you also you look at somebody like some of the other receivers. I mean, there's an abundance of receivers with Xavier Restrepo. You look at I really want to see how LeJonte Wester runs. He told me that he's a 4.3 guy. We'll see, but – you know, if he runs 4.3 in that neighborhood, you know, that's something to look at. So, there's a bunch of guys.
I believe he could run a 4.3. I believe. Yeah. I mean, they had some speed over there at Colorado last year.
No doubt about it.
I did want to talk a little bit about Ursary because I did read your article, and he played left tackle for Minnesota last year. If the Titans draft him, there's potential that they could flip him over to the right side. And in my mind, the way it works was, okay, they drafted J.C. Latham and flipped him from right to left. Then they draft Ursary, flip him from left to right. Do you think that in the world that the Titans draft Ursary, do you think there's a world that they put him at left tackle and move JC back to right?
I think there's a world where that happens, and they touched on that a little bit. Like they said, if they feel like the best thing to do is to move JC to right, they'll do that. I think he could play either position, you know, but then I also look at Ursary, and I mean, 339 pounds, he's a guy that, you know, is a powerful player. You watch what how defenders react, you know, and I apologize about the noise, but these guys down here getting it turned up running their starts and stuff. But, I mean, you look at Ursary, you know, and the way defenders react when he puts it, like, he dolts them. And you could see them, like, you know, it's like driving a car into a tree. Like, it stops, you know what I mean? And then you also look at his athleticism and run blocking. So he's someone that could play right. I mean, he could play left. But I think, you know, you have two really good tackles. And there's nothing wrong with having a good right tackle. Just ask the Eagles with Landon, you know, with Lane Johnson and the other guy, name slipped my mind. But for years, it was Jason Peters and Lane Johnson. And then, you know, they drafted the Aussie rugby player.
Yeah, Jordan Mailata. Yep, absolutely.
Mailata, yep.
So the three positions that really stick out to me in this draft, obviously the defensive line, specifically the edge rushers, running back, obviously there's a lot of big names in the running back class, but tight ends, the tight end room is really intriguing to me. And kind of with the tight end situation, obviously you have Chigakonkwo, but could you see the Titans maybe drafting a tight end in day two or day three? Because there are plenty of good ones available.
Yeah, Arroyo from Miami is interesting. I watched him in one-on-one at the Senior Bowl, and he lit it up. He lit it up. So, yeah, I mean, we're gonna see some things from that group. And oh my goodness, I kind of stuttered because Shamar Stewart just ran a 1.51 10-yard split to start his run just now. Like, this is ridiculous. At 281 pounds, man. Like, this. Wow. But, yeah, I apologize to keep, like, getting off track. But, I mean, I'm watching this guy run, and I'm just like, geez, oh, man. But we'll see. I think Arroyo is a guy that they could get. You know, he doesn't mind blocking, but, you know, he's someone that can make plays in the passing game.
Absolutely. And I don't know how much film you've watched on Harold Fannin from Bowling Green, but he's a guy that I've been able to watch over the course of this past season, and I'm really intrigued by him, and I don't think he's getting enough love. He's right now, he's ranked as the eighth best tight end on ESPN.com. What would you say about a guy like Harold Fannin?
Yeah, I mean, you look at him, he's another one of those guys you could bring in high value. Wasn't he a contender for the tight end award? I believe he was. He was up there for that.
Yeah, the Mackey?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he was up there for that. I know he didn't win it, but I did see some people say that, you know, he should be the one. So that's another guy, too. And like you said, to your credit, like it's a very deep group.
And this will be my last one for you, but I want to loop back around to the start when we were talking about Harold Landry. Let's say that the Titans are able to push him out the door. What do you think of his value would be out on the open market?
Yeah, I would say fifth, sixth round. You know, I don't think there's high value. A nine sack guy, the contract is the contract. He just doesn't have the same juice that he used to have. You know, I think that's the bottom line. He's not somebody that, you know, is really going to move the needle or anything like that.
Absolutely. Well, TD, we appreciate it. We know you're going to have lots of good content from the Combine, and we look forward to seeing your reports on Twitter and ESPN as well.
Yeah, for sure. Appreciate you.
So that was TD giving us a live report from the NFL Combine up in Indianapolis that'll be going on this week and this weekend. Lots of great content. Brian Callahan and Mike Borgonzi and other members of the Titans brass are all down there. Borgonzi and Callahan both spoke to the media earlier this week. Abdul Carter, who has been talked about a lot on this show, that could potentially be the number one overall pick by the Titans, he spoke today during his media availability, and TD is getting all the coverage from Indianapolis. If you haven't already, please subscribe to the podcast at Talking with TD. It can be found wherever you get your fine listening materials, whether that be Apple Podcasts, Spotify. There's plenty of different platforms out there. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. And as always, we appreciate you.